You just spoke about your aunt passing and stuff. And up before that week or before that day, I noticed you were just kind of like a little depressed. Even though your aunt's passing was sudden, do you think that was you feeling it, like feeling that it was going to be coming?
Tuning in to the Awkward Thinking Podcast.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the Awkward Intelligence Podcast. I am your host, Nas Salim.
I'm your host, Vincent Muhammad.
And we are the friends you never knew you needed, the Black Brothers in Power, Awkward Intelligence. Yes. Once again, I'm going to give a disclaimer. This podcast is not for any coons. And I repeat, no coons allowed on this podcast. Anything you would like to say, Vince?
Fuck a coon.
Yes. This podcast is for people who eat butter pecan ice cream and butter almond ice cream and black and beautiful.
And pumpkin pie.
Oh, no. No. You're not going to. It's sweet potato pie. You might be. You might need to get off this pod. But welcome back to the Awkward Thinking Podcast. I'm your boy Nas, a.k.a. Stace.
What up? I'm Vince. I don't know why we had to do another introduction.
Because you know why? Because the people need to know who we really are outside of this. This is our. Vince went real radical. Real, real deep. And we was like, how can we give the people something to match our energy this time? So now, when I couldn't say anything about white people, I'm with you, brother. I'm with
you today. Okay, this one of them episodes?
It's one of them episodes.
All right, bet. Let's get in on them nasty motherfuckers. Nah, I quit.
You know what I'm saying? Make sure you smash that like button with a big-ass fist, black power fist, and what else?
Make sure you liking, you comment, and you subscribing. Please subscribe. Make sure you sharing our content. Please share our content. That's the only way we grow. Share our content. Share it with your auntie, your uncles, your grandma, your mama, your daddy, whoever you can. Share it to your nieces and nephews. Shit, if you are a teacher, share it to your classroom. Let the students meet Uncle Vincent. But yeah.
Okay. So we ready to rock and roll?
Let's get in this.
Okay. So I was on a rabbit hole of Reddit.
Reddit be having some good shit.
And it said, yeah, it do. I ain't gonna lie. I was sitting on Reddit. I was like, I can see why people get lost in here.
Yeah.
Like, it was so many stories I was reading. It was in the communities. I was like, okay.
Because there's a bunch of different communities. And once you go down one community, then you got to go down to subsections and everything. And then you find out everything that's going on.
And then I'm like, I'm looking at it. And I'm like, and then it has rules. Like, you have to abide by these rules in the community. I was like, this is great. Like, this is a nice way. I mean, it gets real crazy.
Yeah.
Reddit gets real crazy. But I seen in one community, I forget what it was, like shower thoughts or some shit like that. And it was like, let me get the right thing. It was like, why is 4 to 8 p.m. on a Sunday the most depressing time ever?
I saw that in there, and immediately my heart connected with it.
I swear to God.
Because I feel like 4 p.m., it starts on Saturday, because you just be looking like, fuck, tomorrow's Sunday. And tomorrow Sunday is still your free time, but, you know, Sunday is that time where it's like, all right, now we got to start putting shit back up, and now we got to get it back together and get ready for Monday. So 4 to 8 p.m. is that time where it's like, I should be chilling.
Yeah.
But only thing I can fucking think about is work tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel like when 4 p.m., that 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. time frame is more so like, me thinking back to when I had to get ready for school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I got school tomorrow. That's how work feels. Like, work feels like a drag. Like, I gotta go to school. I gotta wake up and I gotta go to work. Like, you know, when you're in school or like you're a kid and you think like, oh, once I'm an adult, I never have to do this again. And it's like,
no, you do. It's either that or be a bum.
Yeah.
Or
I ain't gonna lie. You know. I ain't gonna lie. It's been considered a lot of this time.
2-3 more years up out of me. I promise you, the working class only got 2-3 more years up out of me. And then I'm moving to the woods and I'm never looking back again.
No, damn it. No.
Because you seem like you had a point.
I did have a I'm losing my points. This shit is tight.
When I first put this bitch on, I was like, damn, it's a do-rag. It's an all-in-one.
Oh, swear to God.
This shit is tight. This motherfucking make sure it is not letting no blackness out.
Bro, it is tight. Nah, I was so this is a crazy ass segue. So my aunt did pass.
Sorry to hear that.
I don't know ever how to respond to that.
Mm-hmm. You know, sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
I don't know how to say that without it sounding dumb as fuck. Because it always sounds dumb as fuck.
It's like, of course, I get it. Like, yeah. It's like, so I say thank you. Like I that like I don't never know how to respond to like sorry for your loss.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Thanks. I don't like to say it. I really don't. I prefer not to say it, but I feel like it might be rude for me not to say it.
Prayers up, bro.
Okay, so one of the things I do like to say, sending love. I'm sending my love because that's what I can do. I really can send love your way. But I'm sorry for your loss. Just don't cut it for me.
You know, sometimes I send a text and I'll be like, prayers up to you and your family. I'm praying for you and your family. Sometimes I don't get to there. I keep it bent.
If I text you and I say I'm praying for you, that's the prayer right there.
No, the fuck.
That's the fucking prayer right there.
Being on your hands and knees is...
It's cute. It's nice, but nigga, I work a full time job. I don't got time to. I'm sorry. I work a full time job. Once I text you and I say I'm praying for you, that's the prayer,
bro. Look, so I'm in the so back to it. I'm back into, you know, my gospel bag. I'm listening to nothing but Kirk Franklin, mm-hmm. right? So I'm feeling it. I got on stomp, and you know that. Joint,
sorry, uh-huh. not to interrupt you because I did interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I noticed you just spoke about your aunt passing and stuff, and up before that week or before that day, I noticed you were just kind of like a little depressed, even though your aunt's passing was sudden. Do you think that was you feeling it, like feeling that it was going to be coming, or do you think that was just something else?
You know what's so crazy about that you spoke on that, and I was like, I don't necessarily want to tie that into the depression, you know what I mean? Only because it was just like, because I was in a mood for a minute, and I'm like, I don't know why, you know what I mean? Like, I feel why I'm in there, but I don't know why I'm in it.
We ain't know why you was in there either.
So it was like, I don't have a reason. And that's usually, once I don't have a reason, I just said I'm just in, you know, feeling it. So, you know, I came up out of it a little bit. And yeah, it was one of those things. Like, I'm more accepted. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, even with my mom, I'm passing and stuff like that. I'm just more accepting. Like, these are older women and stuff like that. Yeah, it was sudden on how it happened, but I'm rather it didn't happen because of, all right, we know it's time or something like this. It was natural causes, and you know, God rest her soul and stuff like that. But it was one of those things where it's like, she an older woman.
She got to live her life.
She got to live her life, and she enjoyed her life for what I looked at, you know, and what I seen growing up. You know, family stuff, we have our problems, we have our issues. Okay, but at the end of the day, like, this was a great woman. She had a great life, and that's what we gotta, you know, get to that point. Because I don't get emotional when I'm not there. I get emotional when I'm there.
Because I feel like you can feel it more. Yeah. Like, I'll find out some shit and I'll be okay, but the moment I pull up and I start seeing everybody, then I get emotional because I feel it. The emotion is heavier in the air, and it's also just like, I feel like it's the environment. It's like, once I get there, I feel comforted enough to feel like, okay, I can release these emotions. Or sometimes I feel like maybe these emotions are only reserved for this, this environment. So when I get there and it's like, okay, now I can do the crying. Now I can do all that.
Yeah, and then I didn't tell the story. I'm going to tell this brief story. When I was at my mom's funeral. So we at the funeral, you know, everybody coming in, you know, sad, crying, tissues, all that. So I'm walking. I'm sitting in the pew. I'm thinking, flashbacks going, everybody I see crying and stuff. So next thing I hear, you get half off on your Walmart sales. This and that. They had the speaker. They had the YouTube going. Then the next song we hear, never would have made that. That was the song before. But then this song was like, doom, 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 suavemente, desame, desquero, sedeño, año. I'm like, ain't no way.
At the fucking funeral home? I don't know what be going on with the funeral home and like,
I have a playlist.
Yeah, or I don't understand. Why the fuck are you on YouTube in the first place?
That's what I'm saying.
If y'all niggas don't got Apple Music, bitch, and y'all charging a arm, you charging a whole body just to bury the body.
Bro. Damn,
and so if you can't afford to not use YouTube or at least YouTube without ads, bitch, why am I having a funeral service here?
Man. Look, I ain't gonna lie. I've had some great moments at funerals.
Funerals bring people together.
Yeah. And I think it's the only time, like I said, it's the only time where you can be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know,
and not looked at like.
Yeah, like what the fuck is you?
When you going when you sad and everybody else isn't sad, you looked at like what's wrong with you.
Right.
Versus everybody being sad, we all understand what's going on. We can all share in on that. And so like people are more understanding and I feel like they give you space to be vulnerable during funerals and shit. Mm-hmm. But when it's not that, they don't give you that space.
Yeah, it's only get rough when somebody doing the most at the funeral. I hate yeah. that so much.
That's my sister. My sister, she's one of them people that she does the most. She's going to go up to the casket. She's going to lay on it. She's going to cry.
I'm not ready.
She's going to do all that. When they start putting the casket in the ground, she's going to start stumping. And yo! No! And it'd be like, bro, come the fuck on. Why? Like, speaking of funerals, so yesterday I'm on the phone with Jonae, Carly, and Shayla. And so me, Carly, and Jonae are talking about these people that we went to college with.
Yeah.
One of them passed. He passed about a month ago. Mm. And, you know, for the most part, everybody knew that he had passed, I guess, except for Jonae. So, So, me and Carly are talking, and Carly's talking about him, and then she ends it with, God bless his soul. Jonae was like, girl, you say like he died or something. And while we all on the call, so we stopped in the call and we like, I'm like, Jonae, he died. Like, that boy, he died already. And Carly confirms it and was like, yeah, he died. I'm like, Jonae, you late. And I'm not thinking, it's not processing. Like, this is a person that died.
Right.
She's finding this out for the first time. And we all like, we've processed it a little bit. So we all like. That shit happened already. Right. I don't know where we was at and mentally for it to be like that.
Funny.
So Jonae is like this. She's, oh my God. Like, she's going through it. She was like, I ain't know this and that. And like, we just talking to her and shit. And so I don't know why. I was just like, you seen that meme on TikTok or you seen that video. Ain't nobody tell me nothing.
I swear to God.
And so we started doing that and shit. But we turned that whole situation of somebody dying into, we was like laughing.
Death is funny.
Death can be funny.
Death can be funny. And I think because it's just only because it's like, you have that moment, like you're going to go through a hell of a grief depending on how close that person is to you. But I think it's funny because it brings either, you can bring some lightness to it.
Yeah.
You know, or some lighthearted moments. Like, this is not all bad. It's mm-hmm. just like, when you get to that point where this is a part of life. You know what I mean?
And I feel like the older I get, the more I'm starting to accept that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I've lost a lot of people. We've talked about that on here. And so, like, now I'm getting a little older. I'm losing more people. My grandparents passed away, I think, last year. Both, like, a couple months apart and stuff. And that was... It wasn't hard. Mm-hmm. Like, surprisingly, that was not hard to accept. That was something that came a lot easier than, you know, the other deaths. Because I felt like, how you said, they got to live their life. Like, you know, they were older. They were done. Like, they retired and everything. So, like, to see them pass on, it's almost like an achievement for them. And so now it's like, even with other people, like, I used to have that thing where my phone would ring. And I would get real bad anxiety because I'm thinking it's a call about somebody passing away and stuff. And I've been getting calls. It's nobody passing away, thank God, but it's stuff happening back home.
Yeah.
And I've been okay with it. And, like, I've been able to verbalize that, too, like, to my family. That was something I used to struggle with, just talking to them and being able to explain. And death is, like, you know, that's a scary concept right now. And so, like, to have... I don't know, more serious conversations regarding death with my family and then just, you know, I don't know. One thing that I've learned is that you should just tell people now.
Yeah.
Tell them anything and everything that you can now. And that, so that's something I've been doing.
That's so tricky, though. Like, say if we fall out, you know what I mean? And then something happens.
Because shit happens like that.
And that's what I mean. That's why it's so tricky. Because it's like, yeah, I can tell this person. But if we had an argument right there, because I'm always expecting tomorrow's promise, especially when I'm this young, I'm always expecting that I have another day to live. I have another day. Like, dying in the aspect of how we look at it is for old people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you grow up in certain environments, it's like, all
right. You get used to people dying young.
14, 15, that's just the name of the game. You know, mm-hmm. charges to the game. But that's what I'm saying. Like, when you I think it's just, I've lost my fucking point. I was on a roll.
You was. You seem like you was about to be going in.
I was on a roll. Fuck it. I forgot. I ain't gonna lie.
You was talking about dying young and shit, and just it was about dying young and accepting shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You still lost it. Yeah, I lost it.
I'm trying to get back to where you was going because you was. It seemed like you was going somewhere with that.
I think it was the concept of always tomorrow's promise.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's our biggest thing is young because I always have that naive moment mm-hmm. of even with the pod, it's just like we have more time and stuff or we have ample amount of time, but it's like I really don't know.
And it's also getting into it.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And yeah, because it's like me and my mom might have an argument, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And then God forbid anything happens to her, but that's just things. But she knows in her heart mm-hmm. I loved her, but that moment I'm down on myself because I'm like,
damn. Yeah.
Like, I ain't mean for this that to be our last interaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because I've experienced being into it with somebody right before they die and not being able to make up and stuff. And it hurts because it does feel like, yo, we didn't end on good terms. Even though I know we still love each other, even though I know that, you know, the love is still there, to have somebody die before you get to at least squash whatever petty ass beef that y'all had going on, it hurts. And it's like, I wish we could have been, I don't know, in a better place before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I've taken from that is like, even if I get into it, especially with my family, like me and Carl got into it a while ago. And I forgot what we got into. It was just a disagreement, but the nigga did not want to talk to me.
Mm.
Like, He was like, yeah, I was mad, so I wasn't going to talk to you. And, like, I was on the verge of crying because that shit fucked me up. That's my little brother. That's, yeah. like, you know, it's us. So it was like, I'm like, nigga, anything can happen at any day, mm-hmm. at any time. I don't want us to ever be in that position where we feel like we can't talk to each other over a dumbass disagreement or some shit. And so now, like, with everybody, I don't know, sometimes we get into it, and I just... You know, we might not talk right then and there, but, you know, I feel like we need to let shit settle a little bit and then we talk. But for the most part, we always get right back to it and, you know, we'd be like, all right, this is what it was.
It's never that deep, you know, yeah. sometimes. Unless it's like some crazy, like,
mm-hmm.
hurtful shit. Because it's just like, it's when you get to those points of them petty arguments, it'd be like, it don't be that deep.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you do have those little thoughts of like, fuck this person, fuck mm-hmm. that, da 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 da. I won't deal with this person, however you view mm-hmm. it. But it goes like that. That's it.
I can't get caught up in the, you know, the pettiness of the argument and shit and feel like, let me just hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to be one of them people, I would hold on to shit, but losing people made me realize it's okay to work shit out. Yeah. And then also it's like, I don't know. I love y'all niggas. So I don't want to ever have us into it for too long mm-hmm. when we can just hurry up and resolve this shit. Not to say like we just step over shit and don't address it, because we still address it and we still come to an understanding of where we went wrong. But it's this time I'm not holding on to it, or mm-hmm. I'm not letting it linger out until the next person say something or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I was, during my little depression phase, I was watching this comedian. I had my own couch moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching this comedian called Ali Sadiq, and probably the best comedian I ever seen do stand up. And what I mean, let me take my glasses off for this one. And what I mean by this is this man had a full setup, talked about his life as a teenager mm-hmm. and how he lost his girlfriend. Talked about how he lost his youngest sister all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But when he talked about how he lost his little sister, when I mean this man was in tears, like, I was hurting. I was this. Like, you would have watched, Vince, I swear to God, if you would have watched this special, you would have been like, how is this man doing this? Like, he was literally being vulnerable. Like, nobody was in the audience, breaking down, crying. And it's like, this shit hurt. This, and that. And then turned it into a laugh, but... And then he went to, you know, saying how he was bitter afterwards and mm-hmm. how he went to, you know, back to selling drugs and stuff like that, mm-hmm. X, Y, and Z. But he was like, at the end of it, it wasn't like a happy moment when he ended his comedy set. Like, he said, I lost everything. Mm-hmm. I lost my, you know, my first love. I lost my sister. And I lost my freedom. Mm-hmm. I went to jail because of this shit. And I was like, this was, like, the best stand-up I've ever, like, from emotions, from happy to sad to,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. Best thing I've ever seen.
Mm.
Best convicting comedian thing I've ever seen. Mm. Yeah.
That was probably very therapeutic for him to sit up there and get that out in front of, because it's kind of like what we do here.
Yeah.
Talking about heavy shit sometime and being able to, like, get it all out and then get paid for it. Well, we ain't getting paid for it, but it would be nice to get paid for it. You can send a couple of dollars for our fucking trauma because we got it.
We got it.
But yeah, because that, nigga.
That was, like, I think, because I was, like, thinking to myself, I'm like, I've never, well, right now, mm-hmm. I haven't had a moment on camera where I'm that vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point where I'm crying in front of people. Like, I feel like I still have this thing in my head, like, bitch ass nigga, you better not cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And even at my mom's funeral, I was like,
mm-hmm.
nigga, you better stay strong.
I used to feel that way, too. Because I mm-hmm. used to, again, go through this thing where I felt like trying to be vulnerable in front of people wasn't, it wasn't safe. So it's like me trying to express those emotions, me trying to, or at least the environment coming up, my siblings weren't always nice. So it was like coming up in that environment, when you cry or when you show any kind of emotion and somebody stepping on you and being like, yo, you need to pick it the fuck up and
yeah.
stop with that crying shit, that fucks with you. So at a funeral, I can't cry because I don't want nobody to see me vulnerable, because yeah. I've been taught and I've been told and conditioned that being vulnerable isn't right. And it wasn't until I got to college and I realized how fucked up it was that I couldn't go to a funeral and just cry and feel safe there and experience that same emotion with everybody else there. And it took a lot of time for me to work through that.
You know what's so crazy?
What?
Every funeral I have been, that's been impactful in my mom's life, I've never sat next to my mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, it's something that always happens that we're never together.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I made sure that I was next to her when she was giving her speech.
Because mm-hmm.
I wasn't at my great-grandma's when she gave the speech. But she gave one thing about my mom, and I would
she
always
say she good
at
them speeches?
Bro.
Mm.
And it's just like, same with the Ali Sadiq joint. I've never seen somebody captivate somebody. Like, so, like, you're not a professional. Mm-hmm. Not saying like that, but I feel the passion. I see the stories.
Mm-hmm.
I see everything that you're talking about with writing this down. You wrote this with love. You wrote mm-hmm. this speech with love. That's why it's like, anytime it's like my mom gets a standing ovation every time she, like, it's like you embodied what this person's life was
mm-hmm.
in this moment where we're all down, we're all crying, and this was the piece of the puzzle that we all needed to mm-hmm. say, this is okay. And I was like, I can't do that yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I said, I would want that skill. And even if I don't acquire that skill, I said, that's a beautiful skill
that
my mom has. I want to lighten this up a little
bit. Because it's starting to get a little heavy. It's starting to get a little heavy.
That's my story. So I went down, though. Listen to Stump. What else happened? So lately I've been going through some things that's really got me mm-hmm. down. I said, shit.
Because music be hitting at the right time. It'd be at the right fucking time. You be lit and you be like, nigga, where was these lyrics at this whole time?
Bro, when I said shit, I was like, oh, I ain't mean to cuss mm-hmm. on this guy's something. I felt that shit, bro. I was like, but it made me think. Mm-hmm. I was like, God works hard, but the devil be working harder.
Yeah.
Because I ain't mean to slip up like that.
I've been in my gospel bag too. I don't know what it's been, because I'm not really religious, if y'all didn't know that yet. Religion. But I do believe that there's a God out there somewhere doing his thing, and however he does it, I just don't believe in organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
But I like music. I like any music that can touch you, kind of like what you were saying with your mom and being able to just pull somebody in. If you can make me believe what you're singing, I'm here for it. And so it's been this song I've been listening to down there like nonstop, and I'm not really the biggest I'm gonna listen to some church music person ever. I'm not.
I hate it. Honestly, when I was growing up, I really did not like gospel music at all. I was like, positivity, get it the fuck away from me.
The song is called Mercy / Tremble featuring Aja. and it's by like House Fires and shit. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really beautiful song, and it's talking about basically like, you know, shit that you go through and like God not giving up on you, God always being there, God always providing a way and stuff. And she, like, even in the song, she stops singing for a second because she's crying and shit, and she's feeling God through her in that moment. And mm-hmm. she's talking about just overcoming shit and not being able to pay her bills, but God made a way for her anyway at some point. And then not, like, she says something that I don't know, it's been sticking with me, and it's like, it's two things. The first one is, you know, she was saying that when she thought that when she was, she said something like she thought when she was getting God that God was going to, like, she thought God was going to be one thing for her. Like, yeah. You know, that. But he's been everything. He's been a brother. He's been a father. He's been all these things. And he's been showing her who he is through, like, different actions mm-hmm. and stuff. And then there's a part in there where she talks about, like, what does it say? It's, I'm so glad that my freedom isn't based on what I've done. And I feel like, because that's something I feel like people sometimes struggle with, is thinking about all the shit that we've done in the past and yeah. how that, you know, that's a lot to carry sometimes.
Yeah.
On you and shit. Let you know, me not try to get deep again.
You know what the concept of as a child, I was like, you know, and it's so weird to think this. But I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it to heaven when I was a child. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I do a lot of bad shit.
In the way that people present heaven and the way that you get to heaven, I don't think they do that in a kid-friendly way.
Yeah.
Because heaven does not, I mean, heaven does sound like the perfect place. But when you tell me my choice is heaven or hell, right. and like the way that you describe hell and you describe every little thing that I do, as a kid, I got all this anxiety and stuff. Because I'm scared that, oh, if I die right now, I'm going to hell because I pushed my brother the other day. Yeah. And, like, I'm thinking maybe that's what's going to cause me mm-hmm. to go to hell. That people need to approach religion a little bit different yeah, with
I
kids.
I think that puts a play into it. Like, early religion, like, even, like, VeggieTales or anything like that when you grew up, like, in a, like, religious household, it's like, I need you to be this perfect person. It's yeah. not only aided to being inside the Black community, even though that is a vocal point mm-hmm. in our community. But I think that
religion
forces you to be like, I need to be this perfect being because Jesus is the perfect being. And mm-hmm. if I commit a sin, then I'm definitely going to hell, because it's like, it's probably the worst people that you think that has done worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably in heaven. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it sucks to think that, because it's like, well, how do I live my life? Well, it's no guidebook, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I feel like a pastor when I just like,
yeah,
but no, it's really no guidebook to how you there dictate is. How to move your life. It is mm-hmm. but it isn't at the same time, because everybody's looking for a pamphlet to say, all right, step one, you live your life like this, the mm-hmm. step two, you live it like that. I mean, it keeps you in guard. The Bible, whatever, yeah. keeps you in the parameters. But everybody's looking for the step-by-step to get, like, a cheat code or a masterclass to get into heaven, which mm-hmm. is not the ideal. Just be a good person and whatever that dictates. Because your right might be my wrong, and my wrong might be whatever. Mm-hmm. Fuck, you know what I mean? But that's my whole thing with it. Just so be the ideal person that you see, instead of trying to mimic somebody else's mm-hmm. ways of living, you know.
Or don't, because the thing is, I think a lot of people get the Bible and religion mixed up, especially when I'm not Jesus Christ. I will never be Jesus Christ, because mm-hmm. Jesus decided to die for all y'all. Jesus decided to die for all y'all. I can never be Jesus. I couldn't. Because some of y'all didn't deserve it. Well, let me not say that, because I ain't going to question his decisions. But it's like,
I ain't gonna lie, that decision, I would have been like, hey y'all, I don't know if I can.
Because that's a tough decision, like, and then it's also, that's a tough decision to make, to die for all these people and stuff. And it, as a person who's not religion and who doesn't believe in the Bible, that's a lot for one person.
Yeah.
That, and just even as a person, as a human, as a person learning psychology and social work and stuff, that was a lot for one person to take on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think That is the thing that we stop trying to make people into Jesus.
Yeah.
It wasn't fair that Jesus had to take all that responsibility on. It was nice that he did it. And what he did it out of the kindness of his heart. Cool. But for Jesus to have to take on everybody's sins and their responsibility, it's not fair. And when we teach our kids, you need to be the perfect person, we're not teaching them nothing. You don't teach kids how to be better people by telling them they have to be a perfect person. You teach them niggas how to get anxiety, how to be stressed out, because now they're not matching up to what you feel like is perfection. And that's the other thing too. You be trying to teach shit and you're not a good, or not, let me not say the good person. You're not a perfect person. None of us are perfect people. So when we try to preach that on to kids and try to, oh, you need to be perfect, and everybody in the church is doing weird shit and fucked up shit, that makes me look at things differently. That makes me question things. And that's why some of us back away from religion, because all of y'all are saying I should be doing these things, but y'all are hurting us at times.
Yeah.
So it's like people who have power in religion need to be aware of the power that they have and how they're pushing that on to the next generation, so that people can either be accepting, because again, too, not to go in on the church, because y'all know how can I tell you to be perfect? How can I tell you that Jesus died for everybody's sins, and then I tell you Jesus doesn't like black people, Jesus doesn't like gay people, or Jesus doesn't do this when he died for everybody's sins? How do I turn you away from the church because of you're either wearing jeans or the clothes that you're wearing aren't for church, even though church is for everybody, even though Jesus died, again, for everybody's sins? How do we, as people who preach the word of God and the word of the Bible, how do we start turning people away, and how are we not living up to the things that we're preaching, but we're trying to tell you you should be this way, and you're not that way yourself?
That's facts. I ain't gonna lie. That was
you. Thank you. I'll be eating.
We've been cooking.
It's been a little. It started off, you know.
Started off a little rough.
Y'all better be sharing this shit, because I feel like this has been good shit. I feel like it's been good dialogue too, and it kind of not remind me of our old stuff, but it
does in a sense.
Yeah, it's. I feel good about this. Because I feel good about this episode.
That's our jinx. That's our jinx. That's our jinx. Don't say it. Don't you say it. But I do have a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me cook. So, I believe that Sexy Red and Donald Trump have the same character traits.
So, we done went from Jesus, Fritos, and everything back to Sexy Red. All right. So, what traits do they have that are similar?
Okay. So, what did Donald Trump do when he was running?
He did a lot of shit. What
was his initial thing when he ran out?
Trash?
No.
Like racism and shit.
Right. So, he brought little people from this community, from different communities. It was a church. People that you wouldn't even think was racist. Mm-hmm. They was racist because of Donald Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what did Sexy Red do? She brought hood rats that wasn't even hood rats originally. This was Miss Denise. Miss Denise was a librarian. Mm. Now she's singing Pound Town. She was a hood rat back in her day. She tried to, you know what I'm saying? That's what the character traits is today.
That's what the character traits are today.
So that's why Donald Trump is Sexy Red, because Sexy Red allowed people that was librarians, people that's first ladies in the church.
Did you say the way that you just said librarians was like librarians? What the fuck?
So that's why Sexy Red and Donald Trump have the same character traits. But I know we wanted to get into this thing because there's been a lot of propaganda about this. More so the love hate thing that celebrities got going on and influencers got going on. So I know you wanted to touch a little bit more on that, more than me.
Kind of speaking on what you was just saying about the Sexy Red shit and like her bringing the hoe out of a librarian who used to be a hoe back in the day. So I just been noticing, like, you know, Suki's been telling people, like, they keep bringing up all of her old stuff, all of her old antics and the stuff that she used to do, and they're kind of still expecting that from her. And I saw an interview she did. She was like, I'm trying to step away from now. I'm a grown woman. I have kids. I'm trying to be more professional, more about my business. I'm not trying to be out here singing about pussy and dick and eating a nigga ass and he eating my ass.
That
and
digital footprint is crazy.
And it is. But I do believe in change. I believe in growth. I believe that people should, once I say I'm done with this, I should be able to leave that alone and go. And not like with racism. You can't be done with racism, bitch. Once you did it, you did it. You can't be done with that. But I do think you can hang up your whole jersey. And you can, I think that you can change some of your behaviors and everything. I think that's perfectly fine. Us as people, we have to stop getting so caught up into other people's lives. Because again, and I'm always going to say this, the world is fucking burning. I don't give a fuck about what this nigga got going on somewhere halfway across the world, because he can afford to live in the places that aren't burning. He can afford to do that. He can afford to do all the shit. And because I'm watching, I'm giving him the money to do that. Mm-hmm. Or he's getting money to do that. I think that, again, stop. We got to stop getting so caught up in everybody else's shit, especially people we'll never touch, people we'll never get to see.
Yeah.
And people, not in Keith Lee's, you know, not to in reference to him, but just people who are only going to be burning for so long, like who are only going to have 15 minutes of fame. We got to stop giving them so much power. And we got to stop getting so much caught up in this shit. And I think a perfect example of that is the Keke Palmer shit. Mm. Like, so many people, I feel like, seeing her situation, and everybody gave their opinions, and everybody said what she should do, and everybody said this is what she's going to do. Everybody said this is how she's going to move and how he's going to move. And again, I think we even touched on it. We ain't touched on it too much of what they should do and this and that.
Right.
But we just touched on the, again, stop getting so caught up in people's shit. Because, like, now people are seeing them eating together, and it's like, oh, are they back together? And it's like, oh, she done for being back with him. And, oh, we really caused this girl to be single or a single mom for this and that. And it's like, y'all think y'all have too much power. That's the problem. Y'all think that y'all are the ones doing this and that these people are listening to everything that you're saying on these social media platforms and shit when you hiding behind that little black mirror and shit. Mm-hmm. People aren't listening. People don't give a fuck about what y'all got to say a lot of the times. It's just that people be having their own shit going on, and when they disappear, y'all assume shit and y'all make assumptions for people. I feel like niggas need to mind their business. Like, mind your fucking business. That's the only way to survive is to mind your fucking business at this point.
Yeah, I think that's, and I don't even think that's going to come to a halting stop. As long as we have social media or something like that. But I remember when shit used to crash bad and everybody used to migrate back to like one place and stuff like that.
Instagram would crash, everybody would go back to Twitter
and stuff like that. But I was like, you know, I kind of want, and I don't know if this is the correct word to use, like a utopia. Is that a utopia?
Yeah.
Like a
everything serenity. Is going good. Yeah, that's a utopia.
Like, as like it just shut down all for a day.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see how people.
And I
do.
Think shit like that should be possible. The same way that they used to shut down Nickelodeon for, okay, it's time to take your ass outside. Nigga, you watch this shit all year long. Go outside today.
Yeah.
Shut down social media. Let's shut down shit for a day. Everybody go outside and go chill. And I feel like that should be a thing that we do as people.
Yeah.
We should not be inside one day. Like, there should be a day where we all go outside and it's like a holiday where we're socializing with people, our neighbors and everybody. We should have shit like that. That will build community amongst our fucking communities. I think that, again, we in a shitty-ass country.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that we get focused on the wrong things, and I think we're focused on the wrong things for a reason.
Yeah.
Our lives are fucked up. A lot of us are not living happy lives, so it's like, I'd rather watch this other person and how they go through life. And then I think what needs to start happening, everybody does not need free thought, or at least the way that we're using free thought. Everybody is giving their opinions. Everybody's giving their perspective on situations that's not even theirs. It's not, some shit doesn't require your opinion. Some shit does not require a comment from you. And it's like, sometimes as a person, stop commenting.
Like,
there's times, again, I've said this multiple times, sometimes I'll be commenting on some shit and then I'll realize almost toward the end of my comment, like, I'm like, this is not gonna do shit for nobody. Let me delete this shit and go on about my life. You don't have to respond to everything, and you don't have to have a thought for everything, because when you think that you can have a thought for everything, normally it's just bullshit.
Yeah. There is, and I know, like, to encompass, like, every really thing, everything, like, what we've been saying this whole time, but there is no true happiness, I don't think.
I think it is.
And the reason why I think it's no true happiness, I look at it as going back to the Jonah Hill documentary I seen a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And his therapist was saying more so on the fact of it's always going to be a villain. So what your happiness is for Vince right now is not going to be the happiness for Vince 5 years later. That's what I'm mm-hmm. saying. It's like that the true happiness is never really, it's never really in peace. It's always a new villain or new situation to
mm-hmm.
either pivot. I don't like this anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even going back to the grace, allow people to say, I don't like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As long as it doesn't deteriorate your body mm-hmm. or it doesn't make you feel all weird or anything like that, just, hey, I don't like it anymore.
What I think it is, and I think that a lot of us don't get to experience joy because we, again, back to, we get taught to be perfect people, number mm-hmm. one, and then we get taught to always pursue something. Yeah. And you don't know what the fuck you're pursuing. Nobody knows what they're pursuing. And I'm 26 now. At 18, I thought by 26, I'd be a millionaire. I'd be somewhere else. I'd be done getting. Yeah, and it can. Glorilla said it can, so it can. But like you said, shit changes, and what makes you happy change. But I feel like we attach our happiness to things, and that's why we're not happy for too long. Mm-hmm. I don't want. There's nothing that I feel like can make me happy, but I do know what will bring me peace. I don't want to work no more. I don't want to have to be responsible for things that don't matter, honestly.
Yeah.
Some shit does not matter. So I don't want to work no more. I don't really care to go out and buy. I do like buying shit, but I don't really. I know I don't need shit. Mm-hmm. If I could just go get me a little bit of land with a garden, and that's all I had to do to take care of myself and my family is to garden and keep up with the house and shit, I would be okay with that. Living off the land, being cool, and I'm not like a survival expert or nothing, but I know I'm not happy, or I know I struggle with being happy because I got work, I got bills, I got responsibilities. I ain't asked for none of this shit. So I feel like for me, I was just born into a world, and it was like, here, this is how shit work. You got to just go along with it. And I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And I feel like, again, not to attach my happiness to anything, but if I wasn't doing everything that I was, because this doesn't, not this, the podcast, but freedom makes me happy.
Yeah.
Peace makes me happy. Mm-hmm. That's where I find my happiness. That's the only way I feel like I can truly be happy. When I went to Gatlinburg and I was sitting outside for the whole weekend, I was at peace and I was happy. I had my girl and we wasn't worried about shit. I was at peace. When I went to that cabin last year, I was the same thing. When we went to Atlanta and I was just outside, I didn't have to worry about work. I wasn't worried about what I was spending money on. None of that. I was happy. I was at peace. Mm-hmm. Even though we was doing shit, waking up early, getting shit done, we was doing shit, but it wasn't shit that I was forced to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't shit that I feel like, if I don't meet this deadline, will I be able to eat? If I don't do this, will I be able to pay rent? Well, if I don't do this, can I go and have the luxuries that I want? And because the thing is, like, that's what we work for real. Yeah. We work for the luxuries. But because we work so much and because we're putting so much time into other people's businesses, because I'm not getting rich off this shit. Somebody else is getting rich. I'm not able to receive none of that happiness.
Yeah.
That's really it.
I wanted to talk before we wrap everything up, emotional relapse. And, you know, a lot of the times when we think about somebody relapsing, we think drugs, alcohol, any of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at work and then we were just talking about exes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to a point where I was thinking about mine or something like that. And I was like, damn, I didn't want this to happen. Like, damn, I didn't want me to think about this person right now, because I've gotten over it. Not saying like I've gotten over it, but like I didn't want to relapse and be like, oh, hey, what's up, what's going on, this and this and that. It's nothing wrong with that, but I think even with the Grayson thing, something like that. Allow people to have that emotional relapse, I would think, with anything. Because a lot of times, it's associated with a lot. A smell might remind you of somebody, but mm-hmm. since your friend said, fuck this person, do this, this, and this, and that. Not saying y'all, to my case, or anything yeah. like that. But to the next person, it's like, fuck this person, you do this, you that person dogged you, this and this and that. Or listening to a song, I'm like, damn, I attached this song, now I can't mm-hmm. listen to it. But I think that's because... You know, we wasn't allowed just to either just get over gradually. It had to be a forceful thing. So I think emotional relapse is a real thing that niggas yeah. don't talk about. Yeah.
I like that, emotional relapse. That is good.
Thanks, man. You know, I'll be trying. Mm-hmm. Well,
emotional relapse is damn near PTSD.
It is, but it isn't. Because I think emotional relapse, I think when I go through it,
mm-hmm.
it's more so like I'm missing. You know, and a person did ask me, it was like, do you miss your ex or are you just lonely? And I had to just stop for a minute. I was like, mm-hmm. I just really might be lonely. You know what I mean? And I think I just missed the aspects of having companionship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn. So it's not like you're missing that person or that relapse, but that relapse may lead you to get that comfort again
mm-hmm.
from that person or that emotional support from that person.
And then you go through that
phase again, yep. you know, and then you have to withdraw all over again. Mm-hmm. You've been 6 months clean from this person. Then that one person say something, and you'd be like, oh, I'm back. Or mm-hmm. you're back in bed or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been cooking. You hear me?
Be proud of yourself, cooking. Man. Be proud of yourself.
But, yeah, that's it. But it's about that time where we leave you with a positive message to get through the week. Vince, what is your positive message to get through the week?
Love your people definitely while you can. If you can, I don't know, if you can just muster up the courage to tell people that you love them and why you love them. And I don't know, I feel like tell people the things that you remember most about them, the things that stick out most, and like the things that you'll miss when they're gone. And even if it's a friend, if it's a cousin, if it's somebody on a deathbed, let people know now how you feel about them. Give them their flowers now. And I also think, like, now is a perfect time, especially for my older people. You don't got to rekindle shit. But, like, if you still feel some kind of way about that disagreement you had, go and call that person. If you can, go and call that person. And squash it. That doesn't mean you got to become best friends again or anything. But now you can walk away and you can feel like, okay, I got that off my chest. What comes with that, though, is that I think we do have to be mindful of people in their spaces.
Yeah.
Like, because I want to get some shit off my chest doesn't mean that you're ready for that or that you are open to that. And maybe you've already packed that up and you're good. Mm-hmm. And me bringing it back up will do something for you.
Yeah.
Like, it'll trigger you. So be mindful of that, because sometimes, you know, that is a real thing. You don't want to be trying to handle your shit and people handling theirs.
Yeah. My positive message, it's more so like a statement, more so than a positive well, that's still a message. Blogs, Shade Room, The Neighborhood Talk, whatever, all mm-hmm. that shit. Start adding these people's names on these podcasts.
Yeah.
Like, we give y'all a solid amount of content, discussions, or something like mm-hmm. that.
At least you could do, bitches, tag us.
It's tag us. And it's not just, you know, not just us per se, but mm-hmm. it's been many times we have, you know.
Yeah.
But other people, we out here grinding, especially mm-hmm. the low-tier podcasters, low-tier influencers, or stuff like that. We out here grinding. We making a name yep. for ourselves. So those moments, those posts mean a lot to us.
And what you're doing is you're taking our content and you're putting it on your page. And not specifically ours, but just people who are in this line of work or doing this line of creativity or whatever. You take our content and you put it on your page and it gets you engagements and stuff, but we don't get to see anything from that. And then a lot of y'all are y'all pages are monetized, so that content then pushes up your monetization. And again, we don't get to see none of that. Niggas aren't asking for a cut of what you get from our posts, but we are asking that you start tagging people so that way when people go to the comment or at least go to see the post, I can go to the page and get all the other shit that I need to get. If I like the discussion that was here, I want to go to the page and actually see what's going on. And I can't go into a comment on my regular page or even on the official page and say, oh, this is us, and then everybody's going to see it the way that they would when you tag me. Just tag people on their shit. Give people credit. And you finish because it was your shit.
And another thing I was going to say, give yourself grace. You know what I mean? I think that's a lot of the times we don't allow ourselves to do. And it's just like, because I go through it a lot. You know, I think my biggest thing is I'm not doing enough. I need to be up there. I need to be posting. I need to be, but I'm literally driving myself insane sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think driving yourself insane to keep up is not the way to go.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think we've been spoon-fed so long with you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to be hard workers. I know somebody right now that don't do half the work as us. You see what I'm saying? And still doing their thing. You know, and it's no knock to them or anything like that. It's just when it's your time, bro. You know what I mean? Things will happen the way it happens. Don't get invested into these numbers. Because it's been slow for us, you know what I mean? Slow for us number wise, but hey, things be happening. Not gonna say much, but things be happening. But hey, bro, shit, you know, that's all I gotta say, man. Anything else?
No, that's it.
We gave y'all an hour. We might get y'all an hour.
It's gonna be like 45
minutes. But y'all been asking for an hour. Appreciate y'all for being Akis every single week. Appreciate the people that view us every single week, share our content every single week. We love y'all. You know what I mean? Not let y'all like to, you know what I'm saying? Don't kill yourself. Yeah. Don't stand us. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but it will drive up engagement. But don't do that. Not for that.
But you know, thank y'all for being awkward. Thank y'all for being indifferent. Thank y'all for being the people who y'all want to be and want to see in y'all lives. Keep listening. Keep pushing. We got y'all. I'm Nas.
I'm Vince.
Thank you for being awkward with us. See you next week.
Black power.
Woo! That was great.
It was.
That was great, boy.
Hurry up, boy. All
right.
I just realized I ain't gonna wait for you.
Right.
Pack this shit up. All right,
that's done. And we had something about the big camera. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Daddy, love you. I'm gonna